Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Can I ask you this? Are we to worship the star? We are not to worship the star. It is simply a created object that God used. And we don't know if that star is even in existence today. It may be, but we know that God used the star. It's good to be used of the Lord. It should be our desire to be able to be used of the Lord and willing to be used of the Lord. We find in the bulletin, and if you would open it up, some spiritual thoughts. And I like the one that has been put there, pray, P-R-A-Y, without ceasing. Because Satan is praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, without ceasing. In other words, the more you desire to be used of the Lord, to draw close to Him, the more He is going to attack you. And can I say this, that if Satan is not attacking you, it's because you're not doing anything for the cause of Christ. Now, you say, well, I don't want to be attacked, and I understand that. But folks, we need to be willing and able to be used of the Lord, which means that Satan is going to come for us. And thus, we should what? Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you have to bow your head and close your eyes, because if you're driving down Canal Road praying, that's not a good thing. So in other words, you can pray with your eyes wide open, but to be in communication with the Lord is very important. Prayer. Would you please stand with me if you're able? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they were come together, in other words, they were engaged and they had not been sexually active. We need to realize that God expects us to be sexually pure, just as Joseph and Mary were. That she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. A public example would be that they would have taken her out and stoned her because she had been immoral in their eyes. But notice, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are willing not only to be our Creator, but also to be our God and Savior. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, may we be used of you this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we will continue to read from verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Firstborn. In other words, she had other children. Some would like to teach that Jesus was the only child of Mary, and that Mary is to be worshipped. But that is not what she desires at all. We need to realize that she was simply one that God was able to use. notice, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus. I'd like to thank Brother Paul for reading our area of preaching text today, verse 1, chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, stop right there. Jesus was born. He came for a purpose. He came for a reason. We find that his name is Emmanuel, God with us. God's desire is that we are close to him, that we serve him, that we love him. And he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. This is important. This is where it was prophesied in the book of Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Continue reading. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. On the communion table, you find three figures of what we would call wise men. Now, how many wise men were there? Well, we know there were at least two, but there could have been a dozen. There could have been more. There just simply were three gifts that were given. And we find that they would not have come, just the three of them, and we're going to say that for the fact that we have three here. They would not have come alone. They would have come in a caravan. There would have been hundreds of them that came. There would be those that would be in charge of the cooking, because there were no Taco Bells along the way. Can I hear an amen on that? There were no Panera Breads along the way. There were no Crackle Barrels. How many of you remember the Stuckies that used to be along the interstates? Do you remember the Stuckies? Yes? There weren't any of those Subways that could be found. They had to carry their food, or they would buy it from the towns they went through. There would be those that would be in charge of putting up the tents and taking them down. Those that would be in charge of the animals that they rode upon. Those that were the burden, bearers of burdens. There were those that were the servants, close servants of those that were called wise men. And notice they came from the east. They traveled because they'd seen his star, the book of Numbers chapter 24. And they're coming with a desire to see the King of the Jews. Now wait a minute, who is the King of the Jews right now? The Bible tells us it's Herod. Do you think Herod is going to like the fact that there is this upstart coming along? No, not at all. But notice verse 2, saying, where is he? You know, it's sad when people don't know where Jesus is. And yet we are to be lights that direct people to Jesus. He is the light, and we reflect his light. And yet how many churches today have stopped preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Today we do not want to offend, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I certainly do not want to offend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we are to proclaim the gospel message that there is a hell for those who do not accept him as Savior, and there is a heaven for those who do. There is life eternal, but the Bible tells us that only a few will find it, but many will be on the road to destruction. But where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have even seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. He is the King of the Jews. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is not King of the church. He's head of the church. He died for the church. He died that men and women may know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But where is he that is born King of the Jews? Come on, Herod, tell us where this guy is. Tell us. We've come to worship him. Worship. You know, the fact of the matter is we live in a world where there are a lot of gods. Small g's. Lots of gods. People worship all kinds of things in our world today. They worship money. They worship education. They worship health and fitness. They worship sports and entertainers. My wife and I, as you probably know, are at the point where we are now able to get the AARP magazine. What does that make us? Seniors. Yes. It makes us seniors. And so we get the magazine, and I got ours the other day, and I'm looking through it. Do you know I don't find anybody in there that is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? I find things about books. I find things about entertainers. I found ways to take care of rodents that come into your house. You know, a mouse can get through a hole the size of a dime. Isn't that amazing? Yes. But you know, you don't find anything about those who are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ because they don't care. But what is sad is when the church doesn't care. When the church is only thinking about themselves and having a good time. But we need to realize that men and women are dying and going to hell. We need to realize that we are to worship the Lord. Let's continue verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was excited and wanted to join in with the wise men and find him. Wait a minute, it doesn't say that, does it? Was he excited? No, he was what? Troubled. He was troubled. Have you ever been troubled? Have you ever been bothered by something that is happening in your life? Maybe you feel like it's out of control and there's nothing you can do and you can be troubled. Or maybe it's something that came to you unexpectedly, like bad health and the news thereof. Maybe it's something like the loss of a job. I've told you the story of investing in an IRA that my father-in-law had suggested that I do. And I put some money into this IRA and it was growing nicely. And suddenly I got this notice saying that the company had gone bankrupt and I would be lucky to get a dime on the dollar. Was that good news? Was I excited? I was troubled. I was troubled. You know, there are things that can come into our lives that trouble us. And at this moment, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. When the king's upset, heads roll. Well, when the king's upset, bad things are going to happen to the average citizen. Notice in verse 4, and when he had gathered how many of the chief priests and scribes? All the chief priests and scribes of the people together, all of them. He wanted an answer. Who is this one that they are calling King of the Jews? Notice he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Notice, did he call him Jesus? No, he didn't call him Jesus. He called him what? Christ. Christ being what? Messiah. Where is this Messiah to be born? Notice in verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, Bethlehem was not that big a village. Bethlehem was not that large of a populated area. And yet this is where Jesus was to be born. As you travel from Charleston, West Virginia, down towards Beckley, as you're on the freeway there, I-77, you go by a village and it tells you this is where Jerry West was born. Do you know who Jerry West is? Basketball player, professional basketball player, a very good basketball player. And so this town as you're traveling down the freeway, wants you to know that this is where he was born. They're excited about it. Now, wouldn't it be exciting if, as you entered Sterling Heights, there would be a sign that said, "This is where the Covenant Baptist Church is"? Wouldn't that be nice? But sometimes when you drive into a city, they'll tell you about the fact that the high school has won the state championship, or some particular student has done some great thing. But the fact is, do you realize that it's important that Sterling Heights has the Covenant Baptist Church to proclaim the gospel story? Notice, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. It's important that we realize that the prophet said, this is where he's going to be born. Verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Wait a minute. Up in verse 3, we find the king of being Herod. Up in verse 2, we find the king of the Jews. And here we find the one that will rule over Israel. Herod wants to rule over them politically. It is my opinion that Jesus Christ wants to rule over us what? Spiritually. Spiritually. Is it important who is your spiritual leader? It is. And all of us have a spiritual leader. Unfortunately, for many in the world today, it is someone that is not right with God. Notice verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." In your mind's eye, can you see Herod sitting maybe in a smaller room than the throne room? And he is there, and the wise men come in, two of them, or three of them, or 12 of them, or how many? And they come into the room. He says, "Shut the door." And he says to them, "When did the star appear? Tell me something about this." Was he truthful with them, or was he a liar? He's a liar. Let's continue. "That the wise men inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem." Now, I have a question. This is just purely Pastor Paul asking a question. Why did he send the wise men? Why didn't he send the scribes, the religious rulers? Why didn't he send some of his soldiers? Why didn't he go himself? Why did he just send the wise men? Can I tell you this? The heart of the ruler is in the hands of God. And God was protecting Jesus. And he put within Herod's mind, send the wise men. Don't go yourself. Don't send the wise men. The spiritual leaders. So he sends them. Verse 8. "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child." Notice, young child. Nowhere in the Bible do we ever find that the shepherds and the wise men were together at any point in time. We find that the shepherds were there at the birth of Christ. The wise men come when he was a young child, upwards of a year or more later. It says, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." One of the radio stations here in this area has, for a number of weeks, what they call holiday and music. And you may have heard them. You have the song of the Grinch, who stunk. Okay. You've got the Little Drummer Boy. You've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And you have Frosty the Snowman. And maybe, I didn't hear it, but there is that song about Grandma getting run over by a reindeer. And I don't know about this, but did that child ever get a hippo? But then occasionally they throw in amongst the holiday music some carols. Silent Night and some of the others. It's all about Christmas and Jesus in reality, right? Because Jesus is the reason for the season. And yet it's everyone trying to make a dollar off the season. See, they're using Jesus, but they're not really worshiping Jesus, are they? Come into our store and buy our things. I mean, after all, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But bring me word again that I may come and worship him. And when they heard the king, they departed. In your mind's eye, do you see them leaving the conference room? King Herod and maybe a few of his choice leaders and the wise men, and they depart and go in two different directions. The wise men thinking, okay, we got to find the star. And Herod saying, we got to find the child. We got to do something with the child. We have to be willing to assassinate the child. And they go in two different directions. And can I tell you this, in our society today, we are going in two different directions. We have those that are wanting to find Jesus and serve him, and we have those who are wanting to simply live a life of luxury. They want everything that life has to offer. Not willing to sacrifice, they want it, and they want it now. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Do you think they were supposed to go to Jerusalem? No. Where was Jesus? He was in Bethlehem. So, you know, sometimes we can get on the wrong road. But if we get on the wrong road, the best thing that can happen is that we get back to the right road. That we get back to where we need to be. Notice, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till they came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. What makes you rejoice? Can I tell you this, that at Christmas time it's stressful? Because when you buy a gift, you want the person you're going to give the gift to what? Like it. Isn't it terrible if you have to convince the receiver of the gift that they really want it? I mean, isn't it terrible when you have to make them think that, oh, this is something special? Yes. How many of you have ever given a gift to a child and the child opens it up excited and they see it and they say, I already have one of these. And they're not too excited about it. But they rejoiced. Can I tell you this? We ought to rejoice when we have the opportunity to come and worship the Lord. We ought to rejoice. It ought to be something that we're excited about, that we want to do this. Now, Pastor Stephen said in Sunday school that he did not want to get up this morning. And I don't blame him for not wanting to get up at 6:42. That's early. Yes. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times that I thought, isn't there something else I could be doing today? But you know, when I get here, I'm always glad that I'm here. And we sing the songs, and the word of God is spoken. We rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped who? Him. Did they worship Mary? They did not worship Mary. They came to worship the Messiah, Jesus. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. And they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. God was providing substance that would help them get to Egypt so they could go and live there until Herod dies. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. What? another way. Now, I don't know how many sermons have been entitled Another Way. That when you come to Jesus, if we take him for who he is, we will depart another way. We will be different. You that accepted Jesus Christ at a later time in your life would tell you you were different after you accepted Christ as your Savior than before. Now, some of us that accepted Christ as our Savior while we were in elementary school, we didn't give up smoking and cussing and all those things, did we? Because we hadn't started it. But those who accepted Christ later, their life changed. They leave a different way. Can I ask you this? What if today was your last day on planet Earth? In other words, what if you were to die today? Would you wish that you had another moment to go back and change some things? That you could get some things right with God? Do you know you can do that right now? That if there is something in your life that needs the change, you can do it today. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And you can come to the altar and say, Lord, I am changing that. I'm going to give that over to you even today. I'm going to give my burden over to you. I'm going to give whatever is on my heart that is troubling me. I'm going to give it over to you. Folks, that's what the Lord wants. He came to save souls and give us peace of mind. Notice again in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The Lord brings joy into our hearts if we turn our hearts over to him. Shall we stand together? Number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, is our invitation song. And as the music plays and as the song is sung, the altar is here and you can come and pray either by yourself or we would be glad to have someone pray with you. Or maybe you just like to come to the front pew and pray there. Or maybe even sit down and pray asking the Lord for peace and direction. We'll give you that opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move at this opportunity. Touching hearts, convincing and convicting. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.